And finally, this week, we spoke to Megan Anderson Bohegian. She's been a teacher and writer for years, but only started publishing her own work after she retired in 2012. Her latest collection of poems is called Vanishing Point, and in it, she uses metaphors about nature to describe real life. I asked Megan where the inspiration to write about her life and memories in this way comes from, and here's what she shared with me.
It comes from play with words. And when we're really engaged in play, up comes subject matter. So often the best poems are poems that emerge rather than ones that are sort of manipulated, right? To sit down and say, I'm going to write about this moment. The poem is going to pull a trick on you almost always, and it'll come to be about something else. So play. I play with language, and out comes poems.
Can you give us an example? What's maybe a poem that started as one thing and ended up as something else?
There's a poem in here called Faulting, which is a really good example of that. I got kind of obsessed with the word fault because it has so many meanings. And my initial idea was to write about denying being at fault, refusing to accept the responsibility for being at fault. But when I began writing, it changed. Would you like to hear that poem?
Yes, I would love to.
Okay, this is called Faulting. Is it relevant to speak of damage? Our battered containers weakened and straining to hold us. Lines scored and crazed by veins that run blue beneath our skin. Does it matter how fault lines slip and shove through our lives, driven by energies not our own? Should we still be surprised by such fractures and the masses of rubble they displace to be compacted, smashed, and thrown aside? Can we claim astonishment at the thrusting up of fault-lined scarp or the valley eroding beside it? Before we hear a thing, our innards know the earth is quaking. Disequilibrium and vertigo precede the rumble, swinging lights and cracks that zigzag up through mortar, tumbling bricks. First comes the shift inside. One fault moves against another. Down where rock sings with rock, the heat of friction is birthing something new.
That was lovely. Thank you. I know you've taught writing for all ages before, grade school, but also college, and you've been really involved with the Fresno poetry community, so organizing readings, helping select the city's poet laureate. Not to deviate too much from talking about your poetry, but how do you set that agenda or direction of the poetry community in the first place? Like, what do you, I don't know, how do you come together and say, here's what we think we want to do?
Well, first of all, I don't set an agenda. I just feel honored to be part of such a generous and inclusive and diverse group of poets as we have here in Fresno. It's an amazing place to be writing poetry. And we have receptive audiences here for poetry, which is wonderful, too. So I'm not an agenda setter, but I do think that poetry needs to be out there where people get a chance to hear it and experience it and hopefully develop their own voice. Because I think the writing of poetry is kind of an innate quality that humans have. I'd like to have poetry jukeboxes on every corner, really.
So, and I know you're also involved in setting the program for the San Joaquin River Parkway Conservancy and Trust's Respite by the River series. It's a series that features local writers and musicians. And we should note Valley Public Radio is a sponsor of Respite by the River. But you've been involved with that for about five seasons. And your last collection of poems, Sightlines, came out in 2013. So did those kind of coincide, your publishing and you being involved in Respite by the
River?
Well,
I retired in 2012.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, a whole lot of doors opened up for me, including the publication of my first book and being invited to join the committee that organizes Respite by the River. I have an MFA from Fresno State in creative writing, so I'm connected with a lot of people there as well as in the mainstream poetry community, which is not related to the university in any way. So I was a good person to kind of hunt up writers and hopefully to bring in writers that that particular audience, which is an audience of active environmentalists mainly, these might not be writers that they would otherwise come across. So
And so did you only start writing poetry when you retired, or was that when you started focusing? Yeah. Have you always been a poet? Can you talk a little bit about
that? I have always been a poet. I was lucky to have two cousins who were poets when I was growing up. And one of them actually lived with my family for a while when he was a college student. So I saw this making of poems as something that was fun and something that was enjoyable. I mean, just enjoyable, not to do it for pleasure, not so much to impress anybody. It wasn't schoolwork. It was my own work. So I started it as a child, and I've always written. I was a journalist. I've done lots of other kinds of writing and professional writing, but poetry is my great love.
I was wondering if you could read a poem for us from your book. You mentioned you have one that seems very representative of sort of, you called it Fresno poetry.
Yes, and Fresno poetry has very specific characteristics. Just really quickly, it tends to be grammatical. There's nothing in the way the poem's constructed that's designed to confound a reader. They're anchored in imagery of the natural world, and particularly our own landscape and our own area. And and they're image-based poems as opposed to just language-based poems. And this is a poem that's based on an actual thing. My husband's a biologist and leads hikes all over the place, and he brought back a rattlesnake skin to our house, and this poem is what came out of this snake skin. It's called On the Rattlesnake Skin My Husband Found. Scales curve like baby's fingernails on its diamond head that points down, an arrow aiming toward earth. Back and front are fused as if the skin's been ironed into a cornstalk, rattles stacked kernels tacked to the kitchen wall. The snake's muscular body, all coil and undulation, detached, slipped from its skin, and left this effigy as long as my arm. It catches dust. Light glows through it. All these skins we've shed, hoping for opacity, the concealed underside, a warning rattle in long grass.
Wonderful. What do you hope readers come away with after taking in some of your poems from this particular book?
I hope these come away with an enthusiasm for poetry, for reading more poetry. As I said, we have marvelous poets here, and our libraries are full of books of poetry, including books of our local poets as well. I hope they write poems. Poems grow out of the things we look at closely, and it does everybody good to slow down and really observe what they see.
Since you have taught writing, I have to ask, do you have a best piece of advice that you pass on to students who want to be writers or poets? Or maybe what is a piece of advice that someone gave you that really resonated?
The work of writing is rewriting. The way the poem comes out in a rough draft is like digging a lump of clay out of the ground. It's really what happens afterwards with the shaping and the very particular choice of words that do the work of the poem. And that doesn't mean just what they mean. It means the way they sound and the effect of the sounds. So there's nothing unintentional in a poem. So if there's some one thing that new writers sometimes overlook is we become so attached to what we've written down in the first place that we can't always see what the poem's really trying to do.
Awesome. Well, we've been talking to Megan Anderson Bohegan. She is a Fresno poet and a poetry community organizer here in the Central Valley. Her latest collection of poems is called Vanishing Point, and she will be launching that book this Saturday, February 16th, in the back room of Review Coffee in the Tower District. That'll take place at 7 p.m. again this Saturday. You can find details on Facebook, on the Review's Facebook page, and also Megan Bohegan's. Megan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.